The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Hello and welcome to Reflections Day by Day, a program from the North Carolina Reading Service. I'm George Douglas. For the next half hour, I'll be reading from the appointed daily scriptures and a brief commentary from the publication Forward Day by Day, a daily devotional for disciples. This booklet is intended for any Christian or non-denominational reader and is affiliated with the Episcopal Church, USA. Our readings on this program cover the week of Monday, May 4th through Sunday, May 10th, 2026. The commentary for May was written by Porter Taylor, a lifelong Episcopalian who served as the sixth Bishop of the Diocese of Western North Carolina. He is the author of three books, including his latest, Are You Persuaded? In and Out of Being a Bishop. He is married to Joe, and they live in Asheville, North Carolina. The commentary for Monday, May 4th, begins as follows, with a passage from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6, verse 6b. Pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And on this May 4th, we commemorate the Feast of St. Monica. Monica was raised a Christian in 4th century Thagaste in modern-day Algeria and was a devoted follower of Christ. However, as a young man, her son Augustine was not. So Monica prayed for him and ultimately pushed him out of the house when he persisted in his hedonist ways. Later, when Augustine converted to Christianity, he credited the influence of his mother. She was present at his adult baptism and is a frequent subject of Augustine's famous confessions. We often have no idea of the impact our way of being and living has on others. Some years ago, my son, Arthur, and I were in an airport when a young man approached us and said to my son, "Your dad changed my life." When he left, Arthur asked me who that was, and I told him, "I have no idea." We may not know or remember how our lives have influenced others, but we know that they do. May we, like Monica, the mother of St. Augustine, be known for lives that witness to the love and the grace of God. And now I'm going to read this full gospel passage for this Monday, May 4th. It is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6, verses 1 through 6 and 16 through 18. Beware of practicing your piety before others in order to be seen by them, for then you have no reward from your Father in heaven. So whenever you give alms, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, so that they may be praised by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you give alms, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your alms may be done in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And whenever you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, so that they may be seen by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward. But whenever you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And whenever you fast, do not look dismal like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces so as to show others that they are fasting. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that your fasting may be seen not by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And the moving forward question for this Monday, May 4th, is, who has influenced your spiritual journey? Thank them. Now we turn to the commentary for Tuesday, May 5th, the day on which we commemorate the martyrs of the Reformation era. This one begins with the Gospel Matthew 6, chapter 6, verses 14 and 15. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Forgiveness is not about being certain of the response of the person who wronged us. It's about remembering who we are, who God is, and who the other person is. We are all made by God, and we are all sinners in need of God's forgiveness. Lest we forget the importance of this, let us recall Desmond Tutu's words as he led the reconciliation process in South Africa after apartheid. No future without forgiveness. When I think of someone has wronged me, the temptation is to define that person by their action. But that means we can no longer connect. I can't learn anything from them because I have put them in a box. And I can't learn about myself because I presume that somehow I am different, better even. When we truly seek holy communion with God, with our fellow human beings, and with ourselves, we are able to forgive and to be forgiven. And now I'll read the full Gospel of Matthew from chapter 6, verses 7 through 15. When you are praying, do not heap up empty phrases, as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then in this way: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not bring us to the time of trial, but rescue us from the evil one. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. And the moving forward question for this Tuesday is, what is your experience with forgiveness? The commentary for Wednesday, May 6th, begins with a passage from the first letter of to the Thessalonians, chapter 5, verse 23. May the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit and soul and body be kept sound and blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. As I read this passage, I thought about taking a personal inventory to see how faithful I have been. But that action reminded me of being in third grade, when each student was placed in a reading group based on their ability. And the Eagles were the best, and the Robins were the worst. Even at that age, I was not comfortable with labeling people. In our culture, score-giving is prevalent. We like to know the winners and losers, who graduated with honors and who scraped by. But today's reading reminds us that God's peace sanctifies us, all of us. With this reassurance, we can let go of the temptation to score others and ourselves. We are God's beloved, and that is enough. And now the full passage from 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5, verses 12 through 28. But we appeal to you, brothers and sisters, to respect those who labor among you and have charge of you in the Lord and admonish you. Esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Be at peace among yourselves. And we urge you, beloved, to admonish the idlers, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with all of them. See that none of you repays evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to all. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit, do not despise the words of prophets, but test everything. Hold fast to what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. May the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit and soul and body be kept sound and blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do this. Beloved, pray for us. Greet all the brothers and sisters with a holy kiss. I solemnly command you by the Lord that this letter be read to all of them. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. And the moving forward question for this day is, did you know that Forward Movement, the book we are reading right now, donates tens of thousands of these books and booklets each year? Well, you can support this ministry, if you'd like, with your donations by going to forwardmovement.org. The commentary for Thursday, May 7th, begins with a passage from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6, verse 25a. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life. Here's the commentary. When we forget who we are as God's children, then we worry. We worry because of the way the world around us measures what success is and what it is not. Generally, we think success is about what you own, what you do, and what people say about you. We worry about having enough money or being important enough or being popular enough. There's a story that when Martin Luther was dealing with the backlash from the church officials at the start of the Reformation, he would walk back and forth in his study and say over and over again, I have been baptized. I have been baptized. He was reminding himself of what mattered and what did not. In our baptism, we are sealed by the Holy Spirit and marked as Christ's own forever. That seal and that mark may not align with how the world measures importance, but they provide the compass so we can remember who and whose we are. And now I'll read the full passage from Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 34. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns. And yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your span of life? And why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not clothed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow, is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear? For it is the Gentiles who strive for all these things. And indeed, your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But strive first for the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring worries of its own. Today's trouble is enough for today. And the moving forward question, when you start to worry, remember that through baptism you are sealed by the Spirit, and you are marked as Christ's own forever. Now the commentary for Friday, May 8th, the day on which we commemorate the great Christian mystic Julian of Norwich. It begins with a passage from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 7, verses 7a. Ask, and it shall be given to you. Search, and you will find. Julian of Norwich lived during the Black Death in England in the 14th century. Scholars estimate that up to half of the population died during that time, possibly including her own family. When she fell ill and was close to death, Julian received a series of visions about the Passion of Christ, which she wrote about in the famous Revelations of Divine Love. At some point in her life, she became an anchoress, living in permanent seclusion in a cell. There she prayed and offered spiritual direction to her city and her family. Through her visions and prayers, Julian offers important lessons as we navigate our own lives of faith. In her first revelation, Julian shares the belief that everything is holy, even something as simple as a hazelnut. Another lesson is her steadfastness. Even in the midst of suffering, she experiences God's assurance that all will be well, and all manner of things will be well. When we begin to search, like Julian, with faithful eyes, we can discover the blessings of this sacramental world. And now I'm going to read the full gospel passage from Matthew for today, chapter 7, verses 1 through 12. Do not judge so that you may not be judged. For with the judgment you make, you will be judged, and the measure you give will be the measure you get. Why do you see the speck in your neighbor's eye, but do not notice the log in your own eye? Or how can you say to your neighbor, let me take the speck out of your eye, while the log in your eye is still there? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your neighbor's eye. Do not give what is holy to dogs, and do not throw your pearls before swine, or they will trample them underfoot and turn and maul you. Ask, and it will be given to you. Search, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds. And for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Is there anyone among you who, if your child asks for bread, will give a stone? Or if the child asks for a fish, will give a snake? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good things to those who ask him? In everything you do, do to others as you would have them do to you, for this is the law and the prophets. And the moving forward suggestion and question for this Friday is, spend time with the writings of Julian of Norwich. What other lessons does she impart? Now the commentary for Saturday, May 9th, the day on which we commemorate St. Gregory of Nazianzus. It begins with a passage from Matthew chapter 7, verse 13a. Enter through the narrow gate. In my first days in seminary, my spiritual director was getting to know me by asking questions. At some point, he asked when I last drank alcohol and how often that occurred. I said, I had a beer before coming to your office, and I drink every day. After we'd talked some more, he said, you have to quit drinking. Since I had given up alcohol for Lent in the past, I wasn't too worried. Okay, I said, for how long? He said one word, forever. So I stopped. I'll be honest, it wasn't so simple as just stopping. As the gospel proclaims, the road was hard and the gate was narrow, but ultimately it led to new life. What is God calling you to let go of so that you will be more open to doing God's work in this world? Can you come through the narrow gate? And now I'll read the full gospel passage for this Saturday. It's from Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 through 21. Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the road is easy that leads to destruction, and there are many who take it. For the gate is narrow and the road is hard that leads to life, and there are few who find it. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorns or figs from thistles? In the same way, every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus you will know them by their fruits. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father in heaven. And the moving forward question for this Saturday is, what steps do you need to take to help pass through the narrow gate? Now, as we near the end of this week and the end of this program, let's turn to the commentary for Sunday, May 10th. It is the sixth Sunday of Easter. The commentary begins with a passage from Acts 17, verses 27b to 28. Though indeed he is not far from each one of us, for in him we live and move and have our being. I have read many novels, and in nearly all of them, the deep message of the book comes at the end. Likewise, the Gospel of Matthew ends with Jesus assuring humankind, I am with you always to the end of the age. Over the years, I have visited many holy places, from Assisi in Italy, the final resting place of St. Francis, to Avila, Spain, and the birthplace of St. Teresa. And while I have been moved by my experiences there, the times when I have felt God's presence the most deeply have been in my backyard or my hometown. God in Christ through the Holy Spirit is everywhere. We just need to open ourselves to receive this gift. I think about the experience of Thomas Merton, a Trappist monk who traveled to many sacred places in his lifetime. Yet one of his most extraordinary experiences of the Holy Spirit was when he was walking across a street in Louisville, Kentucky, on his way from the dentist. Whenever we are or wherever we live, let us remember that God indeed is not far from each one of us. And now I'm going to read this full passage from the book of Acts, chapter 17, verses 22 through 31. Then Paul stood in front of the Areopagus and said, Athenians, I see how extremely religious you are in every way. For as I went through the city and looked carefully at the objects of your worship, I found among them an altar with the inscription, To an Unknown God. What therefore you worship as unknown, this I proclaim to you. The God who made the world and everything in it, He who is Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in shrines made by human hands, nor is He served by human hands, as though He needed anything, since He Himself gives to all mortals life and breath and all things. From one ancestor He made all nations to inhabit the whole earth, and He allotted the times of their existence and the boundaries of the places where they would live, so that they would search for God and perhaps grope for Him and find Him, though indeed He is not far from each one of us. For in Him we live and move and have our being, as even some of your own poets have said. For we too are His offspring. Since we are God's offspring, we ought not to think that the deity is like gold or silver or stone, an image formed by the art and imagination of mortals. While God has overlooked the times of human ignorance, now He commands all people everywhere to repent, because He has fixed a day on which He will have the world judged in righteousness by a man whom He has appointed. And of this He has given assurance to all by raising Him from the dead. And the moving forward question for this Sunday, May 10th, when have you experienced the presence of God in your life? And that's all the time we have for today's episode of Reflections Day by Day. Let's close with a special prayer from Father Richard Rohr, founder of the Center for Action and Contemplation in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Let us pray. Creator God, O great love, thank you for living and loving in us and through us. May all that we do flow directly from our deep connection with you and other beings. Help us become a community that shares each other's burdens and the weight of glory. Listen to our heart's longings for the healing of our world. Knowing that you are hearing us better than we are speaking, we offer this prayer in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and in all the holy names of God. Amen. I'm George Douglas. Thank you so much for joining me today for Reflections Day by Day. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Reflections Day by Day is a presentation of the North Carolina Reading Service and is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. Please join me for a new program of readings and commentary next week from Forward Day by Day, a publication of forwardmovement.org. Goodbye until next time.